You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions expressed can sometimes be accompanied by hand gestures, which your sister may find offensive, but you think are hilarious. There's one in every family. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, hit it.
Yeehaw!
Well, good morning and welcome. It's Dave's Corner Garage. My name is Dave Redinger, and that yeehaw was brought to you by Alan Gelman and Glenn Allen Motors.
There you go.
That's what happens when you drop a differential on your foot.
Or a big wheel and tire. You know, they're getting so fat and large these days, like 20-inch tires. You drop one of those, and you know it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
People don't realize how much it upsets the handling of a car when you change the size of the tire and the wheel. Hey, that's a good question we'll ask Darren today when he's on the show.
For good. Great.
So, but today we're going to have Darren Bossens from Triangle Tire. He's going to talk about a couple of emails that came in, actually off the Facebook. And so we're going to ask these questions from the experts, and we only have one, so the expert.
I did glance down at my dashboard today, Dave, and it said two on the dash, which was five minus the number. So, you know, good thing I had my snow tires. I hope everybody else does.
Not snow tires, winter tires.
Sorry, winter tires.
You've been beating me on the head for years.
You're right.
So right now the temperature outside is minus 2 Celsius.
Ooh, scary.
That's cold. Stafford Wong, he's with Mr. Transmission, Mr. T. We use him as a shop, and he's going to be on. We're going to talk about how do you set up your tranny for the winter. What about the new electric cars and their trannies, if they even have one? And the death of the standard transmission. So we'll talk about that. And maybe you and Al will have some time. We'll talk about that too. Norris McDonald, famous writer from the Toronto Star, is a good friend of mine. And Norris is going to be talking about the new highway that they're planning to build, the 413, which is parallel to the 407, only a little further north. Mm. And it's going to join the 401 to the 400 and then on through to the 404. So it's going to be a stress reliever, I guess, for the traffic that's out there. You know, it's funny. I was at the cottage on Thursday. I was working out there, and coming home at 7 o'clock at night, the 404 north was solid white lights.
Really?
Traffic. Yeah, just solid. I mean, how many people are commuting between Toronto and Lake Simcoe and Keswick and Barrie? And, you know, it's amazing. So maybe we do need another highway.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Norris. And I want him to know. I want to know if he's got any inside, you know, poop on who's going to win. Is it going to be Max, you know, or is it going to be Lewis?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the last race next week.
Yeah, you know, and he is quite.
People don't know, we're talking about Formula One.
Exactly. You know, Mac, you know, yeah. Norris is, he was a racing guy, and he's in the Motorsport Hall of Fame. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is. He's a bigger shot.
Now, Lewis started out as a poor guy with his father doing three jobs to support his racing career. And he always thinks of himself as Cool Runnings, you know, the Jamaican bobsled team.
Right.
Because they would show up with this equipment that was like 10 years old. Everybody would laugh, but they won the race. And he's a natural. He actually is a natural. Mm-hmm. So good luck to him. I don't have anything against him. He's a smart guy. He's a nice guy. And the same thing with the Dutch fella.
Max Verstappen?
Verstappen, yeah, also a natural racer. These guys are unbelievable. Their reactions are so phenomenal.
Oh, to be to be at the top of your field, you know, to be at the top in any field, you know, you really have to have some talent, obviously.
Yeah.
Like yourself, Dave.
Oh, yeah, for years.
Many years turning wrenches and making customers happy.
I think that's the bottom line, is making customers happy.
Well, it can be pretty tough, especially during this COVID stuff. But that's a story for another day. All right, we do have to take a break. We will be back with Dave and I. We're going to be talking about the future. I'm going to look into the crystal ball and find out what we got. This is Dave's Corner Garage.
You know what? I got so many emails. We got to bang some of these emails off.
Yes, boss. No problem. Whatever day. This is The Apprentice Al working with Dave, the head wrench. We'll be right back. All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We're back. Just been chatting with Carlos about racing back at Mosport. That was some fun times. Dave, you used to go out there, did you not?
There's very few corners I didn't crash.
Very good.
I remember watching the guy in front of me go down turn three and then down the hill, rolling, and I'm following him. And I wouldn't believe that's the day my wife shows up to say hello. So,
did you go arse over tea kettle as well?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I hit the wall at about 94 miles an hour. I remember looking at the speedometer, yelling mama, and then I hit the wall.
You had to change your shorts after that one, I'll bet.
Well, no, I tell you something. The seatbelts left all these blue marks on my chest.
Yeah.
So we weren't very sociable for a couple of weeks. I healed.
All right, you looked into the bag and you got some emails, you said.
Yes, this one's been hanging around since November the 3rd, and I really apologize. I listen to your show every weekend. I have a G5. I guess that's a Nissan or a Lexus. Excellent condition. The dealer says I have to check the fluid levels. Does that mean they should be racing them at the same time? And it's from Diana.
G5, actually, I think, is a Pontiac. But
there you go.
But on any car, you know, in fact, we're going to be talking to Stafford after the next break, you know, at Mr. Transmission. When it comes to cars, you know, there is a schedule, the manufacturer, and... you know, it's kind of something you can't do too often, I don't think, anyways, because some manufacturers, as far as transmissions, will say, oh, you never have to change it. But the point is, if you want your car to last, if you're going to keep it for the long haul, especially now, okay, there's no cars to be had. If you go by a dealer's lot, you'll see that's empty. So you want to take care of your car. So when it comes to changing fluids, by all means, you know, you want to change your antifreeze every few years. Certainly you want to change your oil regularly, and most importantly, you know, just want to talk about this quickly, because a lot of people nowadays are so dependent on the car's computer to tell them everything. I had a fellow in last week who'd been in a month prior and couldn't understand why his oil light was coming on, but his computer didn't tell him that he had no oil. And sure enough, we found out. I said, listen, we're going to do a consumption test here. And sure enough, he came back. Only 4 weeks later, 1,000 kilometers, and he was down a liter already. So you have to understand that the computer doesn't know everything. You actually have to stop, open the hood for you people who don't know how to do that. Open up the hood and pull out that dipstick and have it checked. So, yes, changing fluids, making sure fluids are full is very important.
That's also if you have a dipstick. My Toyota doesn't have a dipstick. You have to actually idle the car at 2,000 RPM and push the button, and there's a float inside the oil pan, mm-hmm. and it'll tell you how much oil is in the engine.
But you have to RTFM first.
Yeah, it is absolutely insane. It is so complicated, that car, that if the key battery goes dead, that's it. The car's dead.
You know what? Since they have that thing that comes up that tells you what your percentage of oil is, right?
Yeah.
Why don't they program in there that once a week it comes up and said, have you checked your oil level lately?
Yeah, I mean, they could
do that, right?
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Okay, next one. My Nissan Protege standard transmission. Whenever I shift into reverse gear or forward, I continue to press the clutch down. When the car is stopped, it will all of a sudden start to move away on its own. Can you tell me what the problem is?
Yeah, okay, a couple things. I mean, it could be, number one, that the pedal is not all the way down. We used to see it, especially in Canada, where people add extra floor mats to the car. So now you've got you know, inch and a half of floor mat that's preventing from putting the pedal down all the way. That could be one. Or my assumption is it's a hydraulic clutch, and it could be just like you can lose pressure on a brake master cylinder, a clutch master cylinder can go the same way, where you're not quite, you know, you put down that first application, but when the fluid starts getting past the seals, you're losing that pressure. So I would have the clutch fluid level checked. That's what I would do, first of all. And if necessary,
collapsing pressure plate, it could be in there?
It could be as well. Sure.
Right? The pressure, the plate is not strong enough to hold itself away, and the springs are weak, and it engages automatically because the... So in other words, he's got to spend some money.
Exactly, and you want to do it sooner rather than later, because if you ignore it and bang it into gear, you know, if you can't find them, grind them, you'll blow the tranny too. Then you'll need way more than a clutch.
Right.
You'll need a whole new tranny. Next.
2006 Toyota pickup truck, two-wheel drive. I changed the front pads. A few weeks later, when I push the brake pedal down, they make a whistling sound. I wonder what it is.
Well, I hope you put them in the right side up, first of all.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Probably one of the shims in there are touching the brake rotor. It's very easy. They have these silencing shims or springs that they put in the sliders. And I've seen many, many times, if they're not put in the proper way, the spring itself is touching the brake rotor, and that's what's causing it. Did you have any other suggestion?
Don't they have little whistlers in there when the pad gets low?
Well, yeah, but they're brand new pads, so you wouldn't think
Maybe they're seized, you know, like stuck in the. He put the pads in, but did he service the caliper? Did he bleed the front brakes? Did he do a good job? I don't think the average guy should be touching his brakes. Period. I mean, that's one of those items that they shouldn't be like front end parts and brakes. Those are safety related items, and I don't think that anybody should be touching that stuff. It should be only a licensed mechanic should be touching safety related items.
Can you
buy parts for your gas furnace?
Nope. No, they won't let you. If you walked into a gas place, they'd say, we need to see your license or certificate first. They will not sell you. Yeah.
Same thing here.
Go ahead. I don't know if you can hear the music, Dave, but we do have to take a break. After which, we're going to be talking to Stafford Wong from Mr. Transmission to find out how often that tranny needs to be serviced. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. We've got Stafford Wong from Mr. Transmission on the line. You know, earlier in the show, Stafford, we were talking about, we had an email from a caller who wanted to know about, you know, checking and changing fluids. And I happened to mention that I think was General Motors, for whatever reason, decided that you didn't need to change it. Tell us the truth about that.
Well, yeah, I do think that, good morning, by the way, guys. I do think that it's important to maintain that fluid at an optimal working level. Because after a certain amount of time, it can deteriorate and can end up breaking down and not providing the lubrication properly inside the transmission. So I think it's vital.
So in other words, if you drive like the church lady, then you can go way more years. But if you drive like Mario Andretti, you want to get it done sooner.
I guess that's the best way to put it, sure, yeah.
All right, speaking of crazy drivers, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that the average shop cannot actually change all the fluid. You actually have to put it on a machine. It's sort of like a kidney dialysis machine to suck all that stuff out. Is that correct?
That's right. A lot of the systems we use are flushing machines, and it does extract a lot more fluid. I wouldn't say 100%, but close to it, over 90, I would say. And it does remove a lot more fluid than just dropping the pan and replacing that fluid. That represents probably about 40% of what the actual transmission fluid level is.
Hmm. So the other question I had was, these are computer-operated machines. There's upgrades available for these transmissions, and do you guys install that?
Upgrades? In what way? What do you mean?
In the programs.
Well, yeah, there are programming strategies and shift points that can be altered or brought up to date on a lot of the vehicles, yes. So we also do that because that can adversely affect the transmission shifting ranges and patterns. So in many cases, we'll get a customer in where the car is not shifting right, and it's simply a calibration problem with the computer, yes, for sure.
Fascinating. And I was oppressed. I was at one of the shops, I think it was in Woodbridge. An Escalade came in. They had the transmission out in 15 minutes. Alan, 15 minutes.
Really?
We're struggling like for 2 hours to get this guy had it out. Zoot, 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 and it was out.
That's why you go to the professional. That's why.
I haven't seen that since the 70s, but right now most of the removal and reinstallations, you're looking probably 6 to 10 hours for most of them. Some of them are greater than that. It's we'll take.
I don't feel so bad.
A day and a half to take a transmission out. So the modern day transmissions are so, the cars are so compactly produced, so that the working space to remove the subframe and a lot of these components does take a lot longer than the old days, and you have to really have specialized tools and know your stuff.
That's why you want to make sure you get it rebuilt properly on the bench, eh? I hate to have to do it a second time. Oh.
Exactly.
Where's this little ball from? I can't figure it out.
I think it fell out of my ballpoint pen. I hope it did anyways.
I hope it did. And then it goes out. Well, you know, the biggest surprise to me was in the years ago that we had to use branded transmission fluid. Like Honda's had to have Honda fluid and Toyota's needed Toyota fluid. Otherwise, it didn't work properly.
Well, I think a lot of that philosophy still exists today because their blends are specifically produced for their clutch plates, and it's really imperative to be truthful that most of the vehicles we do see today, we do use original equipment manufacturers' fluids because the specifics of the synthetic blend, some of them are completely synthetic. I mean, some of the newer Acuras, like a 2017 Acura TLX, you have to use the fluid from the manufacturer or the vehicle will develop a shutter when lockup engages. And the problem is some of these fluids are $70, $80 per liter. And it's astronomic costs, but it will adversely affect your transmission's performance if you vary or stray away from using the OEM stuff. It's very, very vital to be truthful.
So the other question I had was, when you reach a point of, like, say it's got 200,000 kilometers, it's still shifting okay. Is that a point where you wouldn't say, don't touch it, just leave it alone?
Yeah, we still abide by that kind of a rule. Most people will call us at 250,000 kilometers on the vehicle and think it's time to change the fluid. It may be maybe driving a little weird or not working properly, but at that point in time, I would steer them away from changing the fluid because you've just gone past the point of regular maintenance and you could adversely affect the transmission again. Yeah. Because the fluid has a lot of detergents in it, right? And it'll clean up any, I guess, built up material in the clutch packs and cause it to maybe even slip.
That's right. The clean fluid has a less viscosity than the dirty fluid, and that's what's kept it going.
Yeah, well, it also, you know, we drain it out. A lot of the debris that's built up in the clutch pack comes out, and the clutches now have more clearance in the drum and causes it to work differently than it's supposed to. And, you know, I've seen back, you know, 20 years ago, I had a vehicle in the shop, and we changed the fluid, and the vehicle didn't even back out. And all we did was change the fluid, so it does happen. So I guess that was one of the examples that caused me to stop doing it.
All right, Stafford, we do have to run. We're running out of time. If people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Well, Mr. Transmission in Brampton, MrTransmission.com, or just call the store directly in Brampton or in Barrie. But just Google Mr. Transmission Barrie or Mr. Transmission Brampton, and you'll get a hold of me.
All right, super. Well,
call his mother. Just get him past it.
All right.
Does she always know where he is?
Yeah.
She knows everything, yeah. He said 555-1212.
They must know our wives, too, eh? This is Dave's Corner Garage. We're going to be back with the tire expert, Darren Bossens, right after this break. Bye-bye. This is Dave's Corner Garage. My name is Alan, and Dave is with us, and we have Darren Bossens from Triangle Tire. Darren, how are you?
How are you doing today?
Very good. Yourself?
I'm doing awesome. It's a nice, brisk, cool day today.
So tell me, are you at the warehouse loading winter tires right now just to help the boys get it done?
No, not today. We're not open on Saturdays and Sundays. So, but I have helped out in the past during the week for sure.
There you go, Dave.
Especially this year, it's hard to get employees.
Oh, really?
I'm sure you might even be struggling too. Everybody's struggling to find people to work.
Oh wow! No, thankfully we've been pretty good that way. But and how are winter tire sales? You're busy.
Brisk, yeah. They're just like the temperature today. Their sales are extremely good this year. Demand is up. I was reading an article just last week. They're saying, as you know, Quebec, everybody uses winter tires because it's mandated.
Uh-huh.
But they're saying in the rest of Canada, they're saying about 7 out of 10 people use winter tires now. So the word's definitely getting out there.
Great. Dave?
Well, we got a couple of emails that came in. One of them was, the gentleman and his wife are driving down to Florida. Wish I was going with them. And they're starting off in the snow because they're going in January. And they're going to end up in the warm weather down there. So they're asking, what type of tire should I put on my car?
In those cases, probably what's best to go with maybe is an all-weather tire. Triangle makes the TA01 Season X, which is an all-weather tire. So it gives you a blend of all-season and winter performance. It is got the three peak mountain snowflake, so it is verified for winter driving. But it gives you a kind of a blend of both, so that might be the way to go for them as opposed to switching out tires.
So you're saying they would be on there forever? In other words, he would not have to change tires for the season?
Correct. Yeah, you could use them in the summer as well as the winter, but you've got to keep in mind that. It's a blend of both, it's a blend of both seasons as far as performances. It's not going to be as good as a standard all season in the summer, and it's not going to be as good as a true winter tire in the winter, but it gives you a nice blend and it will perform well in both. So.
Great idea. So okay. With second email.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Al, did I step on you?
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. All righty. The second email was, is it easy for me to see if my tire pressure is down by just looking at the tire? And if I have to top it up, when is the best time to do it?
Okay, so just looking at the tire usually doesn't indicate unless the tire is very low on pressure. As you know, most tires today have smaller profiles or smaller sidewalls to give that nice look, bigger rim sizes. So it's very difficult to tell when the pressure is low. If it's completely deflated, yes, you can see that. But you still want to know if the pressure is down 5-6 PSI, which you would never see. So when checking pressures, always when we say check pressures cold, that means not after driving the car. So you check the pressures. It could be any time during the day, but just make sure it isn't after you've driven the car. That's considered cold. Topping the pressure up, you can top it up any time. It doesn't really matter as long as you're checking the pressure cold and then putting the pressure cold to where it needs to be.
Al, a question for you. When does the TPS kick in? When does it tell you that you're low?
It only has to see about a 2 or 3 pound difference, and it's gonna come up. You know,
yeah.
As much as it's a good idea, it can be a pain in the butt sometimes, though.
Yeah. You know, yes.
Because they're constantly coming up. People, and the most difficult part is that if you don't have a real tire pressure gauge, okay, in other words, a good one that you bought at an auto parts store. It's almost impossible to get your pressures correct. If you're just depending on the little dinger at the gas station to tell you what's right, it's crazy. I've had more people come in ticked off because they went to the gas station, they put air in a tire, and the thing still won't go off. It's because they're 5 pounds difference between their tires. So yeah. If you don't want to see that, go ahead and invest in a gauge. It's probably $10 or $15. You can get a really good tire pressure gauge with big numbers for us old guys you can't see anymore. And that's the way you have to do it.
Yeah.
And actually, you can actually buy a whole pump for like $20 with a gauge on it.
Well, it's important, you know, and especially like Darren will probably agree with me that if you want your tires to last long, you got to keep them pumped up because so often people come in and they'll say, I thought my tires were good, but you can see that both the inside and outside edge are worn terribly. So, you know, they've been run underinflated for so long, eh?
Yes. It's costly. It's at the end of the day, you can potentially, you know, you wear out your tire a lot quicker than you normally would at correct pressure. You've created more resistance, so your fuel mileage doesn't help your fuel mileage. You actually pay, you know, put more fuel into the car to move it. And the tire doesn't perform properly. The tire is meant to perform optimally at the pressure that it's required for the car.
Exactly.
Darren, you have a unique warranty with yours. So you buy the tire and it wasn't the right one. I can come back and swap it for another one.
Yeah, like within the first 2/32 of wear. You can it's like a trial basis. So if you have you don't like the tires, you don't like the way they perform, etc., you can bring them back for full money back.
Or another tire.
Or yeah, well, obviously we're going to get another tire.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring them back, but yeah, you don't have to be stuck with them for, you know, most people have their tires for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. You don't have to be stuck with them if you don't like them.
And you also have road hazard.
We also have road hazard. Also, in the first 2/32, if you by chance, you know, catch a nail or, you know, hit something that destroys the tire, we'll replace it for free.
Well, I love that. I mean, you're the only guys, I think, that are actually doing that, and I think that shows confidence in the product.
Absolutely. And as you probably well know, that a lot of times when a tire does get destroyed in such a fashion, it's usually early in the life. It's never when it's almost done, coincidentally.
And then at that point, for the most part, you know, you can't get away with just changing the one. You've got to at least do two. And in some cases, you've got to do all four, so it's great. Now, in terms of pricing, where does Triangle come in compared to the, you know, the Michelins of the world?
Basically, to the tier ones, you're probably in the 40% to 50% difference in pricing. As of the last year, with pricing, like, we've had four price increases. The majors have all had four or five increases this year. Pricing is getting out of hand for sure, but the spread between the top and the bottom has actually grown.
Oh, wow.
So the end of the day right now, the majors don't give rebates, or they have rebates out there, but they're not, pricing is going up because they're going to sell everything they manufacture right now.
Right, and the supply chain problems exacerbate the whole situation.
Absolutely, it's that's been the number one issue for us, anyways, in this past year or so, is dealing with supply chain issues. And every time you turn around, there's something else. It's just right now we're dealing with obviously the floods and the mudslides in BC.
Oh yeah, the BC floods. Yeah,
everything comes into the port of Vancouver, and right now nothing can move out of the port until the rail lines get, I think they're back up running just now, or they were doing some testing yesterday. But as you know, there's still a few of the highways, and the major one, the Coquihalla, is still out.
So, you know, people don't realize the costs of shipping for you have gone up 20-fold.
The last time, it's probably up 300-350% right now.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Compared to was before COVID. And that's primarily supply and demand. The demand is very high. The supply is spotty at best based on COVID restrictions, et cetera, et cetera. So, like I said, when you have such high demand and there's only so many containers and so many ships that carry them, prices start to go up. So it's been dramatic.
Darren, the one thing I noticed on your website is your factories are state-of-the-art, and because of that, you've eliminated the need for people. So, in other words, COVID perhaps hasn't really affected that factory.
Yeah, no, it's definitely less than, say, less automated factories. Triangle Tire, they've invested a lot of money in robotics, forklifts that have no people, like they drive automatically. Like it's quite unique. There are people in there for inspection, to overlook, but definitely not the numbers you'd see in an unautomated factory.
Wow, so they just put rubber in one side of the machine and tires come out the other practically,
and they spit out the other end, exactly.
Fascinating. And we should also say that these tires have been around for 40 years. They're nothing new.
No, they've been in business since the 70s. They're always developing new products, new technologies, for producing the tires. So it's they're definitely a world class manufacturer of tires. Triangle is.
Do they?
Go
ahead, Dave.
I was going to say, with electric cars starting to make an appearance, is there a separate tire for electric cars?
Yes, they've typically for electric cars, what they do, Triangle doesn't have one yet. That will be coming. But typically for electric cars, you want to have a very low rolling resistance tire, and definitely a very quiet tire as far as the noise that it makes. Because as you know, with engine noise, it kind of blocks out other noises. But now with electric cars, all you really hear is the tire noise and then the wind going by the vehicle itself. So you've got to have very quiet tires.
Al, go ahead.
I guess there's no one in the passenger seat.
What do you mean there's no one in the passenger seat?
Well, to be nagging and telling you, you know, you're driving crappy, you're not watching the road, because that would be the extra noise that I get in my car, you know.
Oh, yeah, then you have no problem. You wouldn't hear the tires.
But, no, you're absolutely right. And I had I had an electric car that we put a set of four winter tires on, and the guy called me that night and said, I got this weird noise, and I was like, what do you mean? So he came by, and sure enough, yeah, you hear the tires because there's no engine noise. There's no transmission noise. So
no.
I told him he's going to have to turn the radio up. It's the only way around that one.
I can't imagine, as you know, in certain parts of the country, they allow studs, like they allow tires to be studded. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine driving an electric car with a studded tire because that's going to be I don't know if they even do that. The noise.
<Yeah. laughs> All right, triangletire.ca is the best way to find out about more tires?
Absolutely. Shows the lineup, and we should have our dealer locator shortly. So,
all right, Darren, have yourself a great weekend. Thank you for joining us.
Yep. Thank you, Darren. Well, thank you. Great information.
Have a good day, guys.
All right, after the break, we're going to have that fella from the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame with us. His name is Norris McDonald. Stick around. You know, with us on the phone, we've got from the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame, we've got Norris McDonald. So, you know, the guy's been, he's got gasoline running through his veins. Now, Norris, I don't know if this is going to tick you off, or maybe you can confirm it or not. I heard recently, because we've got this Highway 413 going on, that this guy said that highways don't relieve traffic. In fact, they create more of it. What's the story about that?
Well, you know something, that's called induced congestion.
Okay.
Or some scientific term like that, Alan. And by the way, how are you?
I'm great. How about you?
So far, so good. Listen, what this theory is that it's the old baseball thing. If you build it, they will come. In other words, if you build a highway, more people are going to drive on it, and you're never going to be ahead of the game. Which, by the way, I don't think is all that wrong. The point of building highways, though, is to stay even with the amount of traffic that is being generated on roads in and around the GTA. I mean, my goodness, Alan, we have something like 40 to 50,000 people moving into our neighborhoods every year, and even if only half of them own and drive cars, that's another 25 or 30,000 cars coming onto the existing roads every year. And so consequently, in order to stay even, we have to build roads like the 413, the 407, the 401, the 407 East Extension, which was done by the last government, by the way. I didn't hear us talking as much about that one as we are about this one, which makes me suspect that there's more politics going on here than just about everything else. But if you take that theory and apply it, you can do that to just about everything. Build a hospital, and, you know, all of a sudden, the new hospital is going to be filled because doctors have more hospital space to send their patients who are sick, where before maybe all they could do was say, take two aspirin and call me in the morning.
Well, perfect example. You know, Dave said he was driving back from the highway, from the cottage, I should say, coming down to 404, and all he saw was a row of lights going northbound. Now, the highway attracted more housing. So more housing means more people, more cars. So,
well, exactly.
And if it wasn't there, you'd have Woodbine, Kennedy, and all the adjacent roads just rammed with people. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so you need the highway.
Now,
Dave?
The thing is, you know, I do have an open mind on all of this stuff. And I get letters from people who say, well, if you took this money and spent it on public transit, then maybe more people would use transit than are currently. But I don't know who these people are, Alan, because, you know, I use public transit. I'm not against it. But when it comes right down to it, on a cold winter morning where, you know, you pack everybody aboard a subway car, it's like cattle, and everybody's damp, and you know, that's how people get the flu and all the rest of the stuff that gets floating around when you're jamming. I want my car. And I have my car, and I pay my taxes, and there's absolutely no reason why I shouldn't be considered in the same breath as everybody else who doesn't. And I guarantee you right now that if you went out and asked 10 people on the street, which would they rather have, a new road or a new subway, they'd say a new road.
Absolutely. All right, let's switch gears here. Who's going to win the Formula One title? Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen?
We're going to go to Formula. You know, I think that I think Lewis Hamilton will probably win for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's used to winning. He's won 7 of them already. He's up against a marvelously talented young guy in Max Verstappen, but Max has never won the world championship. He's never come down to the final race where it's probably going to come to 2 or 3 weeks from now in Abu Dhabi. And I think just the experience is going to count here, and Lewis Hamilton will win. I think what's going to be fun is to look at what's going to happen next year, because they got a young guy named George Russell is going to be his teammate next year, and I think George is going to give Lewis fits. So that in itself will be fun to watch.
Dave?
Norris, do you remember the beginning of the year when Honda said it wanted to win the world championship and everybody laughed because they didn't have a great record?
Right.
And they had all those engine problems and everything else. But they put it together. I mean, they really pulled their socks in up.
Well, and I was going to say, though, you know, if it's like anything else. If you put the money in that's necessary to do something, then there's a suspicion that Honda was kind of trying to cut a couple of corners, but they learned their lesson. They popped the money in. They hired the people that they had to hire, and you're absolutely right. They're sounding good.
Yeah, I think, and the other thing was that Red Bull is going to take over the production of the engine, but Honda's staying as technical advisor.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I haven't quite figured that one out, David. You know, that was the same sort of thing. You know the fact that Michael Andretti of the Andretti legendary racing family in the United States came within an eyelash of buying the Sauber Formula One team this year.
Yes.
And within an eyelash. And at the last minute, what screwed up the deal was that Peter Sauber, who owns it and has always owned it, never mind what that team is called right now.
Alfa Romeo.
It's called Alfa Romeo, but it's really Peter Sauber's team. He's always had his finger in the pie somewhere. And at the last minute, he said, oh, by the way, I think every major decision I have to be informed, and maybe in order to have some feedback. And, you know, you can't do that. If you buy something, it's like buying a radio station. You don't want the old guys around because you want to do something the way you want to do it, not the way it's been done forever and ever.
Well, the rumor mill is that the Chinese are pushing a driver, and that's going to be the second driver with Bottas.
Well, it's quite possible. But you know what? We don't want to get... You don't want to get me going on that one. I have no idea why, frankly, we have anything to do with
that. All right, Norris, we do have to run. Where do people find you?
I was going to say Toronto Star Wheels. I'm there.
Okay.
I have my own website, norrismcdonald.ca. And every 3 or 4 weeks, I pop up on your radio show.
There you go. And if I don't see you before, I want to wish you a good holiday.
I was going to say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's to you guys.
Thank you.
And I want to tell you, it's a pleasure talking to you.
All right, and you too, Norris. A wealth of knowledge when it comes to anything with wheels on it. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Dave and myself will be right back. All right, we're in the final inning here at Dave's Corner Garage. Yep. Dave, you got some interesting facts you want to talk about.
Yes, you know what? This is the educational part of the show.
Okay.
All right, if vehicles equipped with lane-keeping technology, so I have that, mm-hmm. you push a button on the steering wheel, and when it crosses the white line, it beeps if you have the signal on.
Yep.
Right? Okay, so vehicles equipped with lane-keeping technology cross the markers 37% of the time during ideal conditions. In other words, the beeper didn't go off. And that rate actually jumped to 69% when it was raining. So in other words, this technology is not perfected, doesn't always work, and I can hardly wait until self-driving cars come out and the beeper doesn't come on.
I think this is what they're doing here. You know, they're just testing this whole system out because eventually that's what they want to do, right? They're going to have the car drive itself. So why don't we put this technology in vehicles now, see how well it works or doesn't, and like you're mentioning, and then tweak it, you know, adjust it, make it finer, make it better.
Like it actually reads the white line, so when there's snow on the ground, there's no chance for it to work at all.
There you go.
So, there you go. Top 10 EVs, you know, electrical vehicle registrations for the first 8 months of 2021. Mm-hmm. The best-selling electrical car is the Tesla Model Y. So that's their SUV model.
No. Yes, correct.
Right?
Yep.
The next best-selling car is their Model 3. They sold 80,000 of those things. Chevy Bolt, even though they had the big recall, that's the next one up. Mustang E, the Mach-E, the Volkswagen ID.4, Nissan Leaf, Hyundai Kona, Porsche Cayenne. I mean, those things are almost $150,000, and they're selling like hotcakes. Tesla Model S and the Audi e-tron. Those are the big sellers that are, as far as the EVs are concerned. And I was following the battery technology. Mm-hmm. I spent a few hours on the internet looking at videos and stuff like that. In the States, in California, they're way ahead of us because they've had electric cars for like 10 years.
Right.
The batteries are rebuildable. I always thought you threw them away and it was $22,000. But no, they take them out of the cars and they can identify where the bad cells are, replace them, and pop it back in, and you probably spend $5,000, and the thing's working again.
Oh, so you just rebuild it rather than replace it completely.
Yeah. So there's a chance for you.
For me?
Yeah, Al's Glen Allen Motors Battery Rebuilders.
Okay. Well, I'll have to pass that on to my brother and sister because I don't plan on being around for another 20 years there, I'll tell you. That's for
well,
sure.
You can buy the equipment now.
Yeah.
The battery pack is almost over 1,000 pounds, by the way.
Oh, wow. It's so heavy.
So when that lands on your foot, there's going to be more than, yee-haw!
Actually, I remember seeing a skit on Saturday Night Live where they opened up the trunk and had 4,000 AA batteries. Did you see that one? Every time they'd open the door, batteries would fall out of the car.
Well, don't laugh. There's 8,000 pieces of these little batteries make up the big one. And the last number is $2.6 billion worth of lost business in Canada due to COVID-19.
That sucks.
In the automotive field.
We have to thank our guest, Darren Bossens from Triangle Tire. If you're looking to get some great tires for less money, go to triangle.ca. Stafford Wong at Mr. Transmission. If your car's acting up and you're not quite sure what it is, go see Stafford. They do have a free drive evaluation. And, of course, if you're looking for the latest and greatest in automotive news, go check on the Wheels editor, Norris McDonald, who is such a wealth of information. Hey, Dave? The guy knows about everything.
I'm dying.
Does he know where to buy cough drops? That's what we need to find out. All right, we got to run. Thank you, Carlos. Sidey side up, the greasy side down. And that's nothing to talk cough about. We'll be right back. Bye-bye.
Just a minute with Dave Reniger from Dave's Corner Garage.
Today we're talking with Trevor Hutchison from Crown Body Maintenance.
A big part of being a corporate partner that deals with consumers is being corporately responsible to the environment. And so we believe that although we're in the automotive protection business, you also want to do it in the right way, in the right manner. And for Crown, that starts with our proprietary rust inhibitors, lubricants, penetrants, and all of the products that we manufacture have that in mind. We use a hydrocarbon petroleum base stock that is environmentally safe and a chemical inhibiting package that is designed to be safe to be used in cities, municipalities, and a variety of different environments so that it's responsible towards the areas that we're applying it in.
And how do we get more information about Crown?
Go to our website at crownwithak.com.
You've been listening to Just a Minute. To hear more, go to our website, davescornergarage.com.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.